I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. In the roll call, Madam Clerk.
Your Worship, all members of council are present, save and except Councillor Zanko, who is away at a personal commitment.
Thank you. The only announcement I wish to make this evening is that tomorrow is the start of the work on the waterfront strategy, and there is a public workshop tomorrow evening between 6 and 8 p.m. at the town hall. And I think that there was a request for pre-registrations, but I'm not sure if that was mandatory. There are no addendums to this agenda, but I will say that I was alerted by the clerk to a couple of minor errors contained in the bylaw package, which I will refer to when we get to that bylaw package. And that then takes us to disclosure of pecuniary interest. Are there any disclosures this evening? There being none, I would say that there's a public notice with respect to a public meeting regarding food trucks or refreshment vehicles, consideration of expanding the business licensing to allow more food trucks in the town. And that public meeting will take place February 22nd, 2016 at 6 p.m. In the town hall council chambers during our regular council meeting. That takes us to the regional councilor's report. Good evening, Councilor Nunziata. I see that you're fully attired. I like that tie. And the puff. Or those gloves.
Regional tax levy, and we did ratify that this past week, and Mr. Jansen will have a copy of the regional tax rate. And actually, you know what, we set that 0% guidance, but I think after you do the calculations, it actually comes out to a negative that we passed on to the town of Fort Erie. So you know, once the tax sets their levy rate, then the residents will have a better idea as far as what the overall tax rate is. But proud of the 0% guidance that the region set, and we passed on a negative tax rate for the town of Fort Erie. Specifically, working a lot with the MPCA right now in my role as vice chair, we've had a couple of public meetings with respect to the well and river floodplain mapping, which is going on right now. Not a lot of impact here on the town of Fort Erie, but the other one that will definitely impact the town of Fort Erie, and something that we've been dealing with for quite some time now, is provincial significant wetlands. Now, the province did provide commentary in their position paper about the possibility of biodiversity offsetting. Now, for those people that don't understand what biodiversity offsetting is, basically, if you have a provincial significant wetland and there's an opportunity to recreate it somewhere else, that's biodiversity offsetting. So we're going through those public consultations right now. And if the science does suggest that there is a possibility to offset and recreate wetlands in some other location that's not going to impact flora, fauna, and certainly the environment, then we'll pass those comments as an MPCA onto the province, and it'll be up to the province whether or not to implement that within their toolbox of resources when it comes to public planning. That's basically it. I'll leave it up to council if you have any questions with respect to anything regional or MPCA or anything of that nature.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the regional councillor with respect to his report? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata.
Welcome.
That then takes us to presentations and delegations, and we've got a couple of exciting items on that portion of our agenda. This evening, the town of Fort Erie and the council is going to recognize the service of Albino Alizanata and Bird Sisler for their service over the years on the Senior Citizens Advisory Board. Senior Citizens Advisory Board was established by bylaw in 1977. At that time, it consisted of four members, each one representing one of the seniors groups in the town: the Beachcombers, Pretty Golden Age Friendship Club, Fort Erie Seniors Club, and the Fort Erie Happy Hour Workshop. Since 1977, that membership has grown to 17 as the population has grown, and now consists of representatives from a number of seniors groups, including the Dandelions, the Black Creek Leisure Homes Seniors Group, Harmony Hill of Fort Erie, the Tallow Canadian Seniors Club, the Beachcombers, Royal Canadian Legion Branch 71, Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230, Fort Erie Native Friendship Center Seniors, and as well as representatives from some other community representations, and one member of council, that being Councillor Stephen Passero, who I will call upon shortly just to give a little more background with respect to the seniors and express their appreciation. The mandate of the Senior Citizens Advisory Board is to establish a mechanism to fairly and equitably distribute financial assistance provided by the Town of Fort Erie to assist the aged, to determine the need for increased senior citizen services, and to assist in establishing mechanisms to adopt recommendations made by that group. This evening, and I see that there are some family members here with Bird, and I see Al's there with some friends. In 1996, Bird Sisler was appointed to the Senior Citizens Advisory Board, and he served diligently until the end of 2015. He provided wise counsel, marketing expertise, and service whenever required. And for that, you're to be commended. And I know that there have been many milestones in your life that have arisen in your long life, including the birth and the growing up of your children. And so we certainly recognize the time and the energy that you've devoted to your fellow citizens in the town of Fort Erie. In 2003, Mr. Albino Zanata was appointed to the board and also served faithfully to the end of 2015. For much of those 12 years, he served as the treasurer of the board, and that's a position of great weight and complexity, and I'm sure led to many discussions and debates of significance around the seniors board table. And Al, as well, we know that you have been involved in many ventures in the town of Fort Erie, and we thank you for your service as well. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. This council has taken an active role in trying to recognize volunteers in our boards and committees and throughout our community, because it is those volunteers that do those active roles. It's many hours of work behind the scenes, and it accomplishes a number of objectives that we could not, as mayor and council and town staff, do on our own. And sometimes it's overlooked. And whether you're volunteering for one event, 1 year on a committee, or several years, it's to be appreciated and commended. But when you have a couple of individuals who surpass 10 years and almost reach 20 years, I believe not only is it to be commended, but it's to be celebrated. And the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, upon hearing of your respective resignations, they felt that it fit that we do something a little bit above and beyond than just send you a letter of thanks. So we're thrilled that you're able to be here tonight for this presentation. We do have a couple members of the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee here as well, and I'll turn it back to Mayor Redekamp. But on behalf of myself and my colleagues and as council's rep for that committee, thank you very much for your many years of service. It's appreciated by us and also by your fellow committee members. It's really them who have helped us make this evening possible. Thank you very much.
If I might, if you gentlemen would come forward to the podium, Councillor Passero and I will present you with certificates of appreciation. These certificates state, the Municipal Council of the Town of Fort Erie, on behalf of the residents, hereby recognizes and congratulates, in your case, Bird Sisler, in your case, Albino Zanata, as a long-standing citizen appointee of the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and it indicates the years of your service and for your contributions to making our town a better place for all. That brings us to our next delegation, and that is Fred Lowes, and I see Hazel Reinhart with him. And this is with respect to the Fort Erie Center for the Arts fundraising. Good evening.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I think maybe the next time the agenda is set, we could have Mr. Sisler and folks like Mr. Zanata get their awards after myself.
We just want to show you that there's something for you to aspire to.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to those days. But congratulations to those two gentlemen. I do want to thank you, Mayor Redekop, Town Council, and Town staff for having me here this evening. I also want to thank the press. I don't think there's any members in the gallery still left, but thank you for inviting me to speak on behalf of the Greater Fort Erie Center for the Arts Community Fundraising Committee. I do have with myself this evening, Hazel Reinhart has joined me. Along with Hazel, we have Councillors Marina Butler and Chris Nutt. Not sure why my slideshow is... I was hoping to say a few things before the slide went to the next one. So as you're aware, this fundraising effort is an ambitious one. We're looking to raise $2 million of the needed $3 million for a 500-plus seat community center for the arts. And I want to throw out a big thank you to both Town Council and the DSBN for their vision, their courage, as they have joined together in this endeavor by committing $500,000 each, leaving our community committee with needing to raise the remaining $2 million. I would like to give a dollar amount. I've seen it as the slides were going by there, but our committee, we put together a timeline. We have till September 2018 to raise our $2 million. So to keep us on track, we took one of those barometers to keep us measured as we move along. And if we fall behind, then we can kind of pick ourselves back into gear, but I'm glad to report that as of about a week and a half ago, Times Review had a nice article, and we were at $325,000 at that time. Since then, we've raised another $25,000. Stopped by with a nice donation itself. So we're at close to $350,000, and that's after 6 months since our official launch at the very end of July this past summer. So we're at 350,000. We do have a way to go, but however, the support that we've received thus far has been overwhelming. And I look up at the group in front of me, and I can talk to Tom, and I know Steven's involved, and Sandy, and looking around the room, there's many people. Mayor Redekop as well has done a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And throughout this fundraising campaign thus far, what I've witnessed is the town coming together to make this a reality. I'd like to thank the motivated and dedicated committee members for getting us to this current level of committed donations. I mentioned Councillors Chris Nutt and Marina Butler, also Hazel Reinhart. We have Denise Faraday, Rick Phibbs, Doug Martin, Gord Gregory, Ashley Gibson, Ron Reines, Gary Scarrett, and Rich Daniels, who round out our community committee. I've taken a few slides from our website, it's gfecenterforthearts.com, and just took this right from the web just to go through a few key points as to how we plan on getting to our $2 million goal. Two items here. First of all, the center naming rights for $500,000, and I'm happy to report that we are in discussions with a couple, more than one, that are very interested, but like our bigger donations, those don't happen overnight, but those discussions have been ongoing for a few months now. We have other naming rights. There's the atrium, as well as the box office, and then we also have two artist green rooms at $75,000. And then I'd like to draw attention to the donor wall recognition. The donor wall recognition is anywhere from $50 upward. And so anywhere from 50 upward, we'll get your name on the donor wall. And what that will represent is folks from throughout the town of Fort Erie. And I'm going to show a slide later that has a list of the donors thus far. But whatever folks can afford, because a lot of people hear a $2 million fundraising endeavor, they're thinking about the big dollars and what would my 50-year have to do a dent in that amount. However, I'm happy to report that many have stepped up with whatever they can afford, and they're prominently displayed on that donor wall. We also have on the donor wall, whoever gets the naming rights, that will be prominently displayed there, along with the founding members. We have Bravo founding members from 5,000 up to a dollar under 20,000. And then the next level is our Encore founding member. And then for anyone donating $50,000 plus, they'll be recognized as a founding member. Another strategy that we've come together from our fundraising committee is the great seat sale. So we've sold a few seats already. And what happens with this for anywhere from $1,000 upward, you would be saving a seat, and that would be recognized by whatever you decide. Could be a loved one, could be your family name, could be somebody in memory of. We've had a few classes from Fort Erie Secondary School as well as Ridgeway Crystal Beach High School band together to purchase a seat in honor of their graduating classes. So they will be recognized on the back of one of the seats in the Center for the Arts. Shows you the different levels of the gold at the main part of the house. Those are $1,000, and then at the very top there would be the front row at $2,000. So it's up as you get closer to the front. And I'm happy to report that we've sold already, I think, about 10 or 11 seats. I know for a fact the front center seat has already been spoken for. This is right from the website as well, our Ovation founding members, and then we have a list of Bravo founding members. I should note that the Fort Erie Rotary is a Bravo founding member as well that needs to be put up there on our website. And it's small, but I think the names up there you see, they are many, and those are the folks that between them and the slide previous represent the $350,000 that's been raised. So we're well on our way, and I know that we stood here, Hazel and I were talking the last time we were here a little while back. It was a little busier, and it was could have gone either way as to whether or not we move forward with this Center for the Arts. And once again, I come back to this council for their courage and their vision, and I do believe that we are going to get to that $2 million. And I know when I'm talking to the newspapers, people say, well, you're very confident, and I think the reason why is because I believe in this town, and I haven't been let down yet. When I receive all the support from folks I don't even know, Hazel I hardly knew, and we're like best friends now, and it's been a great opportunity for me to get to know others within the town of Fort Erie, especially when it comes to the arts. A few events that are coming up. I'm going to ask Councillor Butler to chime in at the very end, but we do have on May 14th the Hollywood North party on the patio. In the spring, Fort Erie Rotary have a couple fundraising events that are going to go towards the Center for the Arts. In June, there's a swing band at Rivera Retirement Home with the proceeds going towards the Center for the Arts. Movies in the Park will be taking place this summer. There'll be a golf tournament at Fort Erie Golf. In the fall, we will have the Greater Fort Erie Chamber of Commerce Black Cat Gala. So they're partnering with us for a second time. And the one that took place back in November, they donated a $10,000 check from some of the proceeds from that event. We also have something I'd like to mention is starting off with Dr. Francis Dubay, the optometrist in town, or one of the optometrists. He's going to be doing a customer match. So he has a number in his mind that he wants to donate, but he's going to throw that out there to his customers to match and so take his number and hopefully double that. And there's a few other businesses already that I'm in conversations with. That is my update. And speaking with Mayor Redekop, whenever an update is needed, I can come back and I can say confidently, provided it's not tomorrow, but if it's a month or so from now, that we will be a bigger dollar amount than that $350. I'll turn it over to Councillor Butler if you wanted to speak to the May 14th event, and then if anyone has questions, I'm happy to answer.
Maybe we'll let me hand it over to Councillor Butler. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Your Worship, and thank you, Fred, for that. May 14th, yes, Hollywood North, Party on the Patio. It's going to be an event unlike any that anybody has ever attended. We have a wonderful lineup of entertainers. Les Trent of Inside Edition, who is also a graduate of FES, class of 79, will be our MC for the night. I'm very lucky because I have an expert that's been assisting me on this, Councillor Pizzero. And I'm going to throw it over to him through Your Worship if he has a few other words that he'd like to speak to this about.
Is that an expert only because we're having a cash bar? I don't know what the expertise applies to, but I'm happy to help out my colleague and members of council in this fundraising strategy to help Marina plan and facilitate this event. So May 14th, Hollywood North, Party on the Patio. Hollywood North being, as Marina mentioned, we're going to have a long lineup of varied forms of entertainment, many of which are alumnus of either Ridgeway Crystal Beach High School or FES. So we're very excited to bring back some people from past generations, past classes, and also looking to do some collaborative efforts as well amongst the different talents. That's the Hollywood North portion. The Party on the Patio portion comes in because although we're starting in the banquet hall with a very nice reception, we're then actually going to move into the Kinsman Arena. And we're going to be transforming the arena surface into Fort Erie's largest patio. So we're very excited about the prospects and what's going to be happening. Dinner, entertainment, always a few surprises, and I'm looking forward to pulling together the details in the days ahead and releasing some more information along with Marina in the coming weeks. But please mark your date for May 14th. I think it will be a must-attend event. Seating will be limited to 500, and we think that those tickets will sell out fast. It's not too early to get a hold of Marina or myself and say that you'd like a table, whether you're an organization or a company that would like to sponsor more individual tickets as well. It's just around the corner. It will go by fast, but I'm very, very excited about the prospect. It's always been something I've wanted to do in that facility, and this is the perfect reason to do it. So happy to be involved. Thank you, Mayor.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Pizzero. Thank you, Councillor Butler. Thank you, Mr. Lowe's. And I see that your assistant here was the silent partner this evening, which is rare. Is there any members of council that have any questions of Mr. Lowe's? Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Fred, thank you very much for all your effort and everything. Just a little comment. I guess it would be a year this past December. When I first heard about this fundraising effort and everything, I made a commitment to the first $1,000 that I received from council pay in 2015 that I would donate to the your fundraising efforts, and I haven't done that. Nobody approached me, and I spent the money. So now I'm going to have to make the commitment to take the first $1,000 of 2016 and donate it. And I'm just wondering.
I happen to know that you still got $1,000 in 2015. So don't let them.
Well,
let
I spent that $1,000, but I do have $1,000. But who would contact me so that I can make that donation?
Well, what you could do is write out a check and give it to either Councillor Butler or Councillor Nutt, and they would bring it to the next committee meeting, and then we could take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
Stop by my house.
Thank you very much. Budweiser?
Manning?
Thank you, Councillor Lubrich. Any other councillors? Thank you very much. This is obviously very exciting for the whole community. This is, as we've all said, the future of the community. You may have had some doubts when you were here the last time when we had this room full and we were discussing what we were going to do, but I had no doubts that we would support this. And it sounds like a lot of work. It is a lot of work. This event that's scheduled for May the 14th, I know is a lot of work. I had Councillor Butler just give me a little flavor of what's planned, and I got tired just listening. So I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot of work, and everyone who's participating, Councillor Butler, Councillor Passero, everyone else who's involved, are to be commended, because this does help to pull the community together. So we thank you all very, very much. Thank you. And this information is up on, you said you have a website?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And it's specifically the Greater Fort Erie Center for the Arts?
Well, gfecenterforthearts.com, yep. Center is spelled the American and Canadian way.
Great, thank you. I will give you an opportunity, Mr. Lowes, to move before we move forward, but we're going to be dealing with the consent agenda next. I would like to remove item 1C, which is the council committee meeting minutes of January 20, no, special council minutes. Sorry, the special council, that's item 1B from the package, because I think there should be an amendment to the wording of the item, which I'll get to. Are there any other items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda package? If there are none, then Councillor Passero, could you read the resolution approving the consent agenda with the exception of item 1B?
Yes, Mayor DeCamp. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended, save and except item 1B.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of those items in the consent agenda? Right, then I'll call the vote. All those in favor? None opposed. Then if we could put item 1B on the floor. Councillor Passero, you have the resolution. Perhaps we could move that too.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council approves consent agenda item 1B as recommended.
What I had, the amendment that I was thinking was necessary was the bottom of page 3 and the top of page 4, where you recall that we adjourned after we had dealt with the first and second reading of the bylaw package, and then Councillor Lubritz raised the issue about who are the individuals behind the numbered company 1923286. And I think that the minutes should reflect why we adjourned, and that was to determine the clarity of the individual owners of, or the identity, determine the identity of the individual owners of 1923286 Ontario Inc., which would come at the very bottom of page 3 added to the last sentence. And then when we came back into session, I thought that it should be clear that based on the information obtained during the recess, we decided to take the action that we did, which was to redo the vote on bylaw number 13. So I wonder if someone would move that we make those amendments to those minutes. Councillor Passero, and a seconder, Councillor Butler. Are there any questions with respect to that? I just think that it more accurately reflects what happened, and ordinarily, as the clerk would say, we wouldn't explain why there was a recess, but I thought under those circumstances, it was appropriate. Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moving forward with that, it's always been my understanding that if you declare a conflict of interest, you have to state why you have that conflict. And so if you look at the minutes, in the beginning, there was no declarations of pecuniary interest from anyone. So if Councillor Butler declares a conflict on page 3, then I think it needs to be recorded why the conflict is there.
I think that's a good point. Let's hold that thought while we deal with this particular issue, and then we'll come back to that point, which relates to the same minutes. So are there any questions with respect to the amendment that Councillor Passero has moved? There being none, all those in favor of amending the minutes as proposed, that is carried. Madam Clerk, you heard Councillor Lubert's comments with respect to the need to indicate in the minutes under disclosure of pecuniary interest that Councillor Butler did in fact make a disclosure. Thoughts on that?
Through your worship, the reason it's not captured under number 4 is simply to go in the order of the agenda as laid out. That's why it's referred to in the context at the top of page 4. What actually happened there was that you made the statement, and there was no reason given for the conflict of interest.
All right. So then it is captured at the top of page 4, and you're satisfied with that wording?
To you, I am.
Councillor Butler, do you have any concerns about the wording? Councillor Nutt?
I don't have concerns with the wording, just I want the record to state that when it was disclosed that it was Alf Beam, she did say, I have to declare because that's a client of mine.
Yes.
That would have been the reason that she stated that
perhaps
she does
that should be included. Perhaps that should be included.
Your worship, I understand that the declaration has to be made as it happens, and it wasn't made in that such, therefore it can't really be captured in the minutes if it didn't happen.
No. We're talking now about the top of page 4, where it's indicated that I stated that Councillor Butler has a pecuniary interest that she's declaring with respect to bylaw number, but doesn't say what that interest was. So I think Councillor Nutt is suggesting that that should make reference to the fact that she she did say that.
Your worship, Councillor Butler did not state a conflict of interest. Those were your comments when we came back from recess, and no reason was provided.
That's not true. I recall that specifically, that she did make specific reference to doing work for Mr. Beam when I indicated that Alf Beam is one of the individuals behind that numbered corporation. So, Councillor Nutt, if you wish to further move that we amend.
I'll move to amend that the first paragraph where it states that so that Councillor Butler could refrain from voting at the time when it was disclosed that it was Alpha Beam who owned the numbered company. She said, I have to declare an interest because that's a client of mine. I do work with him.
All right. So concisely.
So if we can amend that, the mayor stated that Councillor Butler has a pecuniary interest and that she is declaring with respect to bylaw number 13-2016 and requested the clerk to note such. The mayor proceeded to retake the vote. And maybe we could just add at the end so that Councillor Butler could refrain from voting due to her business association.
How about after, in the second line, after the numbers of the bylaw, 13-2016, comma, so far as she does work for Alfred Beam, comma.
That's acceptable to me.
That would be the motion. Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I understand that we need to record the reasons why anyone declares a pecuniary interest. And listening to the conversation and watching our clerk, it seems to me that the clerk isn't too comfortable with making an amendment to the minutes because it wasn't really clearly stated. I would have to say I didn't hear that the reason why. But having said that, I know that if you are at a meeting and there was a conflict and you inadvertently didn't declare it, you could declare it at the next meeting, which I think would be appropriate in this situation where we could. Councillor Butler could just state the reason at this meeting and have it so that it's clear from, and maybe the clerk would be a little more comfortable with that.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, Councilor Lubitsch.
Redoing the minutes is a little bit is a little more difficult than just, I think tonight everybody understands that the conflict was there and that this is the reason why, and if we state it tonight, I think that would work with that for everybody.
Before we go to you, Councilor Butler, the reason I even raised the previous amendments was because it's very unusual for us to vote on an issue and then re-vote. We voted because, Councilor Lubitsch, you recall that you raised the issue about whether or not all of the individuals behind that numbered corporation were identified. We recessed specifically to clarify that, and we were able to do that. I was able to telephone Mr. Beam, and he was able to clarify that for me. When we came back into session, after I advised Councilor Butler and all of you what I had learned, there's no doubt in my mind that Councilor Butler confirmed that she had, if it was Mr. Beam, then she had to declare a conflict, which she did. And then we proceeded at that point to re-vote, separate these issues and vote the bylaws and vote on them separately. I don't have the recording here. Maybe the clerk has, in fact, listened to that. And maybe my recollection isn't quite as clear as should be, but that's definitely what the gist of the whole purpose was. And I know specifically that Councillor Butler confirmed that she does work for Alfred Beam, and that's why she declared the conflict, and that's why she refrained from voting. I think the minutes should reflect that.
Yes, I understand that. I'm just saying that I remember that, yes, there was a conflict, and that Councillor Butler had to declare a conflict. And I'm just saying, I don't remember hearing the reason why. That's why I brought it up tonight. It has to state why. You can't just declare a conflict for no reason. You have to state why. And I'm just saying, it's just as easy to do it tonight, to say this is the reason why I declared that conflict, because I don't, whether it's in the last minutes and it's an amendment to the last minutes, or it's added into this tonight's minutes. But what I'm going by is I want to make sure that the clerk is comfortable with the way we're doing it.
Well, the minutes are supposed to be reflective of what occurred, and what occurred is what we've just been talking about. It may be that the clerk is not comfortable. The clerk is not comfortable with a lot of things that I do. However, and that's to give her credit, because that's her job. I understand that. Madam Clerk, I'm going to give you a kick at this can, because I know that this reflects upon you.
Thank you, Worship. I appreciate what Councillor Lubitsch is trying to do, but at the end of the day, there's two things to consider. One is, there is a Conflict of Interest Act. The onus is on individual councillors to take it upon themselves to declare a conflict and to give the reason for it. If they don't give a reason, that's their prerogative. That's captured in the minutes appropriately. If they don't declare a conflict, that would not be captured in the minutes either if it didn't happen. And secondly, if council wanted to change anything about the minutes, I would certainly give my feedback on what was captured in the minutes. But at the end of the day, if council wishes to put an amendment forward and votes on it, whether it carries or loses is the will of council.
That was very good, I must say. So we have an amendment on the floor. We're all clear on what it is, and that is that after the bylaw number 13-2016 be added in the words,
through your worship, we would be adding in, I believe, before the last sentence, so far as Councillor Butler does work for Alfred Beam.
So far as Councillor Butler does work for Alfred Beam, correct. Okay. Any other questions on that, Councillor Passero?
Yeah, just so we put the comma in the right spot, Marina yes. doesn't work for Alf Beam, she does work for Alf Beam.
That's correct.
But is the confusion here, if I could, is it because Councillor Butler didn't have the floor? It was more of just an off-the-cuff remark to the mayor? Is that where we're getting the...
No, what happened was... Oh, you mean after the recess?
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to our clerk to see if, when she says it's not, because it's not captured in the minute, because it was not stated by Councillor Butler, is that sentiment because she did not have the floor, she didn't make it as a statement into the record of council, it was more of an aside conversation to the mayor. Is that where we're getting tripped up here? I'm just trying to figure out, because I heard it, but I'm just trying to balance that with our clerk's perspective to say it wasn't stated.
That could very well be, but whether Councillor Butler had the floor or not, if you heard it, I heard it.
No, I agree. I'm just looking forward to the next series. I'm just looking for assurance from our clerk. Is that the reason for your statement that it was not stated by Councillor Butler?
Clerk?
Through you, Your Worship. That is correct. Because of the odd nature of revoting on the bylaws, I did listen to the recording afterwards to make sure I captured it in its accuracy, and it was indeed put that way in the minutes because it was the mayor that made all of those statements. It was not Councillor Butler herself.
Okay.
Perfect.
We'll right the wrong, and I'll support this, but I appreciate that background information as to how we got to that explanation.
Thank you. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a comment on the whole situation, and this is how it now becomes, we all see what happens and how it gets confusing, and that is why I asked a while back that any numbered company, we need to know the principles of all numbered companies, and so just so that everybody, staff and council included, if we see a numbered company anywhere, we have to make sure that we know who the principals are to avoid what's happening, what happened at that meeting and what's happening this evening.
That was a very good point, Councillor Luberts, and hopefully the staff is more acute to that concern. All right, all those in favor of the amendment by Councillor Nutt? No. That is carried. Wait a minute, I guess you could vote. Can. Yes, you can, because we're just voting on the minutes. Yes. So, yes. So this will be now back to resolution to approve item B, 1B of the council agenda. Further questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'm going to get this right eventually. Okay, that takes us to responses to inquiries. There are none. Is there any new business or inquiries? Councillor Butler and then Councillor Luberts.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do have a question for Mr. Copeland. A couple of my constituents approached me over the weekend and wanted to know if there was a rule coming into force with respect to the possibility of conducting safety inspections for fire and carbon monoxide detectors for rentals, multi-level rentals.
Mr. Copeland.
I would have to get some more information on the specifics. However, there is legislation in place that requires CO alarms and smoke alarms in residential units that have fuel-fired appliances. So your houses, if you have an attached garage, it has to have one. In multi-level, I need more information to find out if the specific building requires them or not.
I'll get that for you.
You'll be able to report back to us, Chief?
Yes, Your Worship.
Thank you. Anything further, Councillor Butler?
I do have one other question that they asked me to ask. And I'm not sure who to ask this question to, Your Worship. So they wanted to know if we kept track of the number of rentals on a residential street.
Mr. Brady, I would suspect that you would have the closest opportunity to answer that.
Thank you to Councillor Butler. No, we do not keep track of rentals.
Thank you.
Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I don't know, I guess it wouldn't be an inquiry. I just wanted to make a comment about the previous, the when there's a conflict of interest. For instance,
well, then you better make it an inquiry, turn it into inquiry. A question in some fashion, because otherwise it's not in order.
Yes. Well, I guess I would ask the question would go to maybe Mr. Cookett or our clerk. I think everybody needs to know, and maybe they could answer the question. When you're absent from a meeting and there's something that's on the agenda of that meeting, even though you are absent from the meeting, do you still have to declare a conflict of interest at the next meeting following that meeting to declare your conflict of interest?
I believe you should, but that would be something, I think, within the bailiwick of the clerk, but I believe you should.
Your Worship, I don't feel comfortable giving 100% response to that. I would feel more comfortable checking the Conflict of Interest Act, or perhaps the presentation that you were provided in December would give you that answer. I'm not sure offhand.
That's fine. So that'll come forward at the next council meeting.
Or if
I think
if,
that should be
just a memo to everybody, so that we all understand that.
I think it would be helpful if we made that a response to inquiries at the next regular council meeting, because the reason we have that there is so when councillors ask questions, then there's a response that comes forward and the public can also hear
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you very much.
Anything further? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Dekop. Just an item of interest, new business for council, anyone who may be listening. I'm helping to chair the 40-re portion of an event that mayor and council and staff have long since supported. It's the Big Brothers, Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake. Just wanted to announce for everyone's interest, it's happening next month, Saturday, March 12th, and I'm currently looking for sponsors, teams. I'll be distributing information before the end of this week. Saturday, March 12th, two time slots, 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. Thank you for that indulgence. And secondly, during the presentation to Mr. Zanad and Mr. Sisler, you had mentioned the four groups that had started the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and one of them was called the Fort Erie Happy Hour Workshop. I'm not sure what that is, but I'd like to bring it back.
I'm pretty confident it's not in the same context of the happy hour you're thinking of.
Thank you, Mayor.
Are there any other inquiries or new business? If not, then we'll move to motions. Councillor Nutt, you have a motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero. Whereas subsection 17.8A of the current Council Rules of Procedure Bylaw number 42-2015 dictates that the chair and vice chair of each business subdivision are appointed for a period that ends September 30th in the second year of the term, and whereas section 17.8B of the current Council Rules of Procedure Bylaw number 42-2015 dictates that the chair and the vice chair of each business subcommittee are selected for the remainder of the term, and whereas bylaw number 66-2015 appointed members of council as chair and vice chair for each business subdivision on April 27, 2015 in accordance with the council rules of procedure number 42-2015, and whereas shortening the term of appointment for chair and vice chair for each business subdivision may provide councillors with more opportunity to serve in these capacities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that council amends the rules of, that council amends the council rules of procedure bylaw number 42-2015 to reflect the term of appointment for chair and vice chair for each business subdivision to be annual rather than biannual, and further that council amends bylaw number 66-2015 to reflect the date change of chair and vice chair appointments for each business subdivision from ending September 30th, 2016 to ending November 30th, 2016.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Did you want to speak to that, Councillor Nutt?
Certainly, Your Worship. The reason why I wanted to move this initiative is to give all of the councillors the opportunity to work. I'm very much looking forward to looking and working with the different departments of the town across different committees, and whereas it was set up, you only had the opportunity to work with two of the three groups. This way, it gives all the councillors the opportunity to work with all three groups. which I think is a great way to completely work with all the town staff, and really it gives everybody the opportunity to have their voice heard from every ward on every subdivision committee.
Anyone else wish to ask questions or comment? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Councilor Nutt and I were discussing this when we arrived earlier tonight, and we'd like to propose the consideration of the changing of the dates. We'd like to do this sooner rather than later, especially coming at the heels of the budget process just ending. I think this may be an appropriate time to give that switch. So I'd be looking to the clerk for some advice as to what we can do. I know we have, if we divide up the term into thirds, and let's just say, you know, for discussion purposes, one is behind us. If we look towards the end of the term and divide that into half and maybe do a split there, but rather than just to do a switch of the chair and vice chair roles, we'd be looking to possibly change it up completely at the third mark of the term going forward. I know we're kind of in a halfway split where we stand now, but Councillor Nutt and I would probably like to do this at some point in March to commence this change, and I see colleagues nodding their heads as well. Was that confusing enough?
No. So if you divide 48 months into three, that's 16 months. So the first third would end March the 31st of 2016. The second 16 months after that, which would be April, May, June, end of July. So August, June, July, August, sorry. August 1st, 17, which would carry through to the end of the term.
And I think even doing it that way, it allows the same team to be in place for the budget process, which I think is very important, not to swap out those positions halfway through.
Right, and you prefaced your comments with a request of the clerk's comments. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship. I admit I'm completely confused because your motion states to change it from annual to biennial, and now you're proposing three sections instead of four annual ones?
Well, that's what it would be. So instead of, that's right, so instead of annual, it would be every 16 months or at three specified dates.
For the purpose of the bylaw, Your Worship, I mean, we could leave it as annual for the purpose of the bylaw because the next council will be getting that fresh start. But for the purpose of where we are now, I would like to make some allowance to recognize the fact that we wouldn't want to change it to the annual right now and proceed to that end of the annual term. We'd like to start now in March and proceed forward. But I can see what you're saying. For the purpose of the bylaw, that will stand. Annual next council 2018, it would go forward. But I'm looking for a way to get to how can we change this up in March. That's my end goal.
Well, then I think you would move to amend the first substantive paragraph so that instead of saying to be annual rather than biennial, it would be reference to every 16 months or...
Your Worship, could we add a paragraph? Just no?
Well,
The clerk is frantically waving her arms.
Yeah, Madam Clerk?
Just to help you, Your Worship, we don't need to change the first paragraph because that will go in place of the rules of procedure for future. What I think Councillor Passero is trying to just deal with is the current term for 2016. So it's okay to put it... biannual, but for the current term, we're trying to get around the fact that instead of extending it to November 30th, it would change in March, and then you want to dictate the next date of changeover to get us to the end of the council term of 2018. And then after that, the change that you've put in place by the first paragraph, for future councils, it will be an annual change.
Yes, that's what I said.
So, well, Your Worship, if I may.
Just for clarity. If we adopt paragraph one, that means that the change could take place annually. And that would be going forward. That wouldn't just be commencing in 2019 or November 2000, December 2018, that would be commencing now. So my view is that if we're going to change this and it's going to be effective for the balance of this term, we should set out exactly what the change is. And if that means we're going to be dividing this term up into thirds, let's say that. If the next council decides they want to change that, fine. But if they like that, then that would continue on. And then the dates would simply be reflected in the second paragraph. That appointments would be business subdivision. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just take a let's take a 10-minute break and try to sort this out, and then we'll come back and we'll perhaps have appropriate wording to get it done and right, and then we can come back and we can finalize the balance. We could have a motion to defer this to the 22nd, but why don't we take 10 minutes? I think we can get it right in 10 minutes, and then it'll be done. Yeah. Okay, so let's do that. We'll come back at 7:10. Okay, we're back in session. And Councillor Passero, you were about to move an amendment to Councillor Nutt's motion regarding the council chairs the committee chairs and vice chairs.
So I'd like to make the following amendment. We're going to alter the both paragraphs under now, therefore, be it resolved. It will now read that council amends the council rules of procedure bylaw number 42-2015. To reflect the term of appointment for chair and vice chair for each business subdivision to be one-third of the term of council. And further, that council amends bylaw number 66-2015 to reflect the date change of chair and vice chair appointments for each business subdivision from ending September 30th, 2016 to ending March 31st, 2016 and 16 months thereafter. And further, that council amends the council rules of procedure bylaw number 42-2015 to switch the position of chair and vice chair within each business subdivision.
Do you have a seconder for that? Councillor Butler? Okay. Are there any questions with respect to the amendment? None. I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Carried. And now, with respect to the motion as amended, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just we'll go forward with this. When is the next change going to take place? Is that the March date that is going to take place
this
in March?
This will end March 31st, so the new appointments will take place effective April the 1st.
And so that will have to be brought to council by staff.
Presumably what we will do is arrange to have a little meeting to determine who's going to be the chair and vice chairs of the subdivision subcommittees going forward sometime before the end of March.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Now, Councillor Nutt, you should again read just the, not the whole motion, just the part that has been amended. So basically the substantive portions.
Now therefore it be resolved that council amends the council rules of procedure bylaw number 42-2015 to reflect the term of appointment for chair and vice chair for each business subdivision committee be one-third of the term of council. And further that council amends bylaw number 66-2015 to reflect the date change of chair and vice chair appointments for each business subdivision from ending September 30th, 2016 to ending March 31st, 2016 and 16 months thereafter. And further, that council amends the council rules of procedure, bylaw number 42-2015
to switch the positions of chair and vice chair within the business subdivision committee after 8 months or halfway through the term.
That's not exactly what Councillor Passero read. So
I read what was put in front of me, but I should have just tacked that on having heard the conversation. So do you want me to further amend?
No, I want the motion as amended to be reflective of the motion amendment as you read it. So, Madam Clerk, why has the difference arisen?
I'm not sure, Your Worship. I thought Councillor Passero had what was written out for Councillor Nutt.
I believe the words that you used were halfway through or something to that. Okay, so I think instead of 8 months, I believe what I heard was halfway through.
When I made the amendment, I did not speak to the timing of the switching of the chair and the vice chair. That wording was not in front of me. But if you're more comfortable with Councillor Nutt just reading it, then I will place a further amendment on the floor to add that wording.
Madam Clerk, did you make any notation of that?
Sorry, Your Worship, specifically notation of what?
Very last words.
I did not. That's why I went over to Councillor Nutt to make sure that we captured that when he read it as amended.
Oh, okay. So let's, before you deal with this, Councillor Nutt, let's just further amend this to make sure that we've got the 8 months. So I think there should be a time frame. I think it should say whatever you feel comfortable with, and we'll ask Councillor Passero to further amend it so we've got this right.
Okay, if I can ask my colleague, Councillor Passero, to further amend this to state, because I understand the clerk wants to be as concise as possible.
Should be concise.
So it should be within the subdivision committee at the 8 month mark.
Fine. So is that good for you, Councillor Passero, as a further amendment?
Yes.
Councillor Butler, would you be prepared to second that? Okay. All those in favor? Okay. That is carried.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So we now go to the notice of motion, or the motion as amended.
Can you read it again?
Does anyone want this read? We've had it read twice. Councillor Lubridge is shaking his head, and we have agreed that before we vote on it, we would have it read. So
all right.
I think what you need to do is go through the substantive portion. Try not to change anything.
Good. Well, as long as Madam Clerk stays over there.
Stay there, Madam Clerk.
Councillor Lubritz, would you like me to start from the now, therefore, or would you just like me to...
Start from the beginning of the substantive.
So now, therefore, it be resolved that Council amends the Council Rules of Procedure Bylaw Number 42-2015 to reflect the term of appointment of Chair and Vice Chair for each business subdivision to be one-third the term of Council. And further, that Council amends Bylaw Number 66-2015 to reflect the date change of Chair and Vice Chair appointments for each business subdivision from ending September 30th, 2016 to March 31st, 2016 and 16 months thereafter. And further, that Council amends the Council Rules of Procedure Bylaw Number 42-2015 to switch positions of Chair and Vice Chair within the Business Subdivision Committee at the 8 month mark.
Are there any other questions or comments? All those in favor? Hallelujah. That's carried. Okay. Councillor Nutt, I understand that you now have a notice of motion.
I do have a notice of motion.
Please proceed.
Send along.
Don't make it confusing.
I'll try not to. Your Worship, I'd like to give notice of motion. Whereas the Town of Fort Erie Strategic Plan is focused on three pillars, one of which is a prosperous and growing community, and whereas to that end, the Town of Fort Erie is dedicated to developing and implementing an effective integrated waterfront and tourism strategy, and whereas both the Town of Fort Erie and the Niagara region have identified as a priority undertaking the creation of an enhanced marina and resort development at the site of the current Niagara Parks Marina near Miller's Creek on the Niagara River. And whereas the concept of such development has been under consideration by the Niagara Parks Commission for over a decade, and whereas the Niagara Parks Commission is engaged now in the process to determine the extent to which the existing marina should be repaired, expanded, enhanced, or complemented by an adjacent resort development. And whereas one of the concepts most closely resembles the type of marina resort development favored by planning staff at the Town of Fort Erie and the Niagara region, and to most reflective of the expectations of those individuals who have participated in the public process regarding the issue, as well as the community at large. And whereas through her mandate letter of letter to the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Sport dated September 25th, 2014, the Premier of Ontario identified as special priorities for the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Sport, supporting culture, heritage and tourism agencies and attractions to maximize their economic and social contributions to the province, supporting the tourism sector's economic growth, encouraging collaboration among tourism industry partners, and attracting international investment. And whereas there is an apparent market for marina/resort development on the Upper Niagara River in Canada, and whereas the obvious and most advantageous site for such a development is the NPC's marina site, and whereas studies have shown that the creation of such a marina/resort development of an appropriate mass at a cost in excess of $200 million could generate over 1,110 jobs and over $400 million in annual operating spending over the next 5 years. And whereas the development could result in significant annual revenues for the MPC through commercial arrangements with the private sector proponent of such a development, and whereas such a marina/resort development would also attract additional tourists to enjoy the beauty of Niagara. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Council of the Town of Fort Erie heartily supports a full-scale marina/resort development at the MPC's marina and encourages the MPC to continue the process to bring about such a development without delay. Two, to that end, the Council of the Town of Fort Erie directs its staff to continue to work collaboratively with the staff of the MPC in the Niagara region to facilitate a request for a proposal by the MPC for a marina/resort development as soon as it is reasonably practical, and therefore with any party of provincial ministry involved in the implementation of such a development. And three, a copy of the resolution be forwarded to the Niagara Parks Commission, the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Sport, or a copy of this resolution be circulated to the Region of Niagara, the area municipalities in Niagara for support, and to the Niagara MPPs and MPs.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. And that is to be dealt with at the February 22nd regular council meeting?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Are there any other notices of motion? Then we will go to consideration of bylaws. But before we do so, I will alert councillors to two corrections that the clerk has advised me of. One relates to bylaw number 20. And apparently, at the top page of the bylaw, if you look at the digital copy in our agenda, there's a typographical error. Instead of 20-2016, it says 20-2015. So that has been corrected. Is that correct, Madam Clerk? And also that bylaw number 21-2016 makes reference to dry industrial DI 535 zone. Actually should be DI 537 zone. And that has also been corrected, Madam Clerk.
That's correct, Your Worship.
So perhaps we could proceed then with first and second reading. Councillor Butler, I believe you have the, unless there is anyone who wishes any bylaw removed from the package. Not being any, Councillor Butler, could you proceed?
Yes.
First and second reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that the bylaw package containing 16-2016 to authorize the stopping up and closing of part of the Gordon Avenue North unopened road allowance plan 4337, south of Grove Avenue, Terry and Crystal Teal, 17-2016 to authorize the entry into an agreement with the Crystal Beach Hill Cottagers Organization parking on private property for the users of Bay Beach, 18-2016 to amend administrative penalty bylaw number 84-2014, designation of on and off street parking for disabled persons bylaw number 125-91, 19-2016 to amend on and off street parking for disabled persons bylaw number 125-91 as amended administrative penalty system for parking enforcement, 20-2016 to enact an amendment to the official plan adopted by bylaw number 150-06 for the Town of Fort Erie Planning Area Amendment Number 30, Helena Street Industrial Lands, Town of Fort Erie, 21-2016 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Helena Street Industrial Lands, Town of Fort Erie, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for questions or comments. There are none, then Councillor McDermott, could you please provide third and final reading, please?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaws 16-2016, 17-2016, 18-2016, 19-2016, 20-2016, 21-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Being none, all those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Lubert, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 22-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on February 8, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 22-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments about that? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Meetings that anyone wishes to announce? Then I'm not sure exactly how this happened, Councillor Nutt. I had nothing to do with it. Yes. Councillor Passero, would you like to move that we adjourn?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I only got this because Councillor Nutt has no voice left after his notice of motion. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, the Council adjourns at 7:26 p.m. to reconvene into regular meeting of Council on February 16th, 2016. And I just draw everyone's attention to February 16th as the 15th is Family Day.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Thank you, folks.